Good evening. Warm welcome to the service tonight. Good to see all of you. Good to see one or two visiting with us as well. And you're especially welcome. We're going to start and we'll begin this time of worship by singing to God's praise from Psalm 73, which is a psalm where the psalmist looks out at the world and recognises that things aren't the way that he feels that they should be. And way back then, and still today, there are things that happen which cause us grief and cause us to scratch our heads and wonder why. And we have psalms that we can sing that are like prayers that we can take that deal with that kind of thing. So we're going to begin by singing the first two stanzas of this psalm. And we sing in Gaelic. I'll read it in English. Yet God is good to Israel, to each pure-hearted one. But as for me, my steps near slipped, my feet were almost gone. For I envious was and grudged the foolish folk to see when I perceived the wicked sort enjoy prosperity. These two verses of Psalm 73 will sing in Gaelic and remain seated to sing. Then afterwards, Angus M. will lead us in prayer in Gaelic, please.
Good. Deuteronomy. How not irony, like a rich one. Gavelligus Goro, a soul, Punoskown. Agus digging your hand, Agus Kiori. Gavagafan took her a law here. Agus Hashinia, Vinkin Narlania. Gavelisul. Gunaharahu, Gunskala Chontag. Agusa Gavashnifankin Egon, Marahulniki Salami. Akazamatin, who was in Shalig, Ed Maraha Esul, Elikalishkinik and I'm sure Gavalandui follow. Egon Marava Sashalting in a clown. Gavalandu ha erhot gaiv, falu gudniam. Agusini fen shalu erenuishen, farnuhurat arslanier, agusinisha gudnisamiha. Achigav more anichen ashe asnilaichen, erin suas gudanamshen. Agus Arslani an hen of Henkin Gusella the Nisha Gro Naim Agus in a Chian, Agus Gafemaga Evi Fuluk, Agus Gro Troch Lavin, Gavijano Kremer Achem Agan Horde Yonsi Archer Faramigat Malia the Hale. Agus Varamig Natoshin Tonche Agus Anashin at Savoch Malia the Shisan. Agus a cantindo Napigar Kthia for Hiplach. Agus Moshinachru Yerkamukshinia Nadashinia Finkin Nikinuavas of a Kavalacho. Kamukshin Kujok. Kdetshin Gavalus Riolik Harish and Hulanichin. I guess Kamigat Kdetu a liar or stern. Aha Kujok Kuyurin Kamukshin Kdetshinan. I guess I can't think of Anamsa Creative Anamsa Marin Henta. I guess I think you're a Kruhir Tritta Spirit Kamigalachin Kdetu. Erelekke gornje. Agus a god doeltoch as een teur dan de schaal. Nede wist kuusen het al, benus kjaunt ku spirit al gein. Gemischen jef kaal schalig. Een loochien al had schien heeniges arslanier. Maar nede schien het hien kavi ik dat schien aan. Aan je waan kavel schien het hien ga jaunse. Acha schien jaunsen. Hashin Yanisha Anik Theost, Agus Hashin Aninit. Agus get Nahalanisha Majadin Kayak Hakalik Akinye Kavala Ergoli Yano Achigan. Kletivanam Sir Marinkhead Hamit Oluguluk Achigayev. Agus Moshanukru here get a hat to look, senior. Ariskarig. Agus Ilye Unisha Erigol Hadish in Avin Yort and Kuvi Majoruthean. Agus at Shalavoho Ninichin Pdishol Ahawuru Luchugai. Agus at Anishin Agus an Nanko Eirochin Majadik the Earth, the Fan Shalav, and Ninichin Pdisholchen. Ha hen rulukhugaiv. Acha buyan gatiyakulish kuchok kasin hörl an the show. Agus at the fuluk. Agus kunat shalavin erinichin pleeshulshan. Acha ngalayak. Kinyacha agus kunguliha achigaiv. agus moshinach ruhiar kamishinye yegal kuchum eri yalaga hanushin. Ar hanivan gan yawla gruata luguluha gaja haka kantin ach hikmi diyusht. Hatala hiyan diyusht agus kavesu yochug esudh nuag agus akavi kruochug Talib Nuag, agus Rioch Mór, agus Téan. Agus asinne gwirwt nad asinne gyfi glein a danam an asio. Agus asinne cwma triad I ialion, gymysyn mochol. I ialio gy hwca gyro Esbyrd Téan gyfi maledyn. O'r a canty gyroa gyfi gyfar bwonoch gymig asinne falaf. Ar gynhwyrg a spirit I ar newsi. Mae'n ei gwyth o'ch rwy ar y sant gyfer dy lwag sy mochol yr ialog o hanes sy'n. Agus gynhwyr ar at y bwys y gan y naif at yr at hyn agus dy hw. Tre gyfer dy spirit y gyfer coni na nan. Agus agor nes na laichin na fan y sin agus ad crein gwnlad I chela. Gwrwa hen y gwy yr y son. Agus a cant nyr ys yn ahad. Gwrw a nach ddi gymig y slwag sin y hwgwys ag a maliad ys. Y ffarifila. Y chawm agus gyfhenchig at y glod y fag I maliad rwt. Mas rwy'n y syl hawn. Ygys angialwg sy'n has teg dy lwag, ygys chad y gahar I chi. Ygys gwy eisyn i'w chrwyr, nid eisyn. Hanna sio ygys y ffwlwg, ygys nid eisyn i'w ffen. Yn ydw iawn tra'n nawr cdia. Ygys gyn sy'n moch o lyrt dy lahad o'ch gyd ma'n ydyn. Ysyn i'w gwy o gymysyn genw, gyda ym ar y galwg a hanna sy'n. Gyfynwys y dal y hyn y ddysd. A chym y gys y llwg sy'n y hwg o hyn gael gymiad maledys ffari fel a. A gys at y cwmat y iawn sy'n am sy'n as y ffeng at y mar a ha. A gys at gofi coloch ddys. Iawn sy'n ywch rhyw hyn ydych sy'n crein gymysyn y ffen. Y dlwch o chwm yn rhyw ten. Egon mae'r fach dy ysgibl o hen. Agus ag an y safwch y naich a hanes o. Grein mae'n ydi chael y gymysyn mochol. Yr dwch o chwmwn. Mae'n ydi'r tein. Bian eich gach ni fydd y gianw yr y la. Bian eich chrwyr yn hyrfaes ac o fi ilantyn mae'n ydi hanes o. Gymig dy hirafas o'ch hyn, yr un astwch o'r ych ymal sŵas. Gymig am o'ch olydd gyfylw hyn, edod ga briar yn lys y lafyrra. Agus gyfyna cwmys o'ch gael I fi gydyd sy'n. Gyfylw hyn maliad ys. Agus grew hyn ag astiwyddig. Ego chan awn yn y fain, a sy'n un y tan y sio, ach gachla y gafeir. O'r yw gwyga uoloch, agos yw gwyga opedr I gianw, a chan awn gynian ag yna I hynny'r, ach gymau cwtioch o'ch dy spirit hyn ag I. Bian eich eich rwy o'r maledyn, bian eich anna eich uoloch as ni gwyrw. Cain eich yna hafwlwg ffod y laif ag yna ym sio. Nyr fwynt yr sy'n ha gion tra'n, Ef hier gan wag rag och ak guyu shin kemu gutu hen el yene in de aartje shna hanish of hallo agus kemu gat mogel et de lach doch keen ken hier ka gen hier shin vi kur en alde te goore gesonrische yene krag ich tak nich sa haast en heve moi te herkel te glanje as ni koiro te groier kemu tu Ni gan hort agus gymig at y tîn gyfi cdyd sy'n as ych ddiodd sy'n ach op ddi sy'n ac yn yw. Bian eich sy'n maledd I chael y gle agos dion sy'n. Mag yn ar pech gynnyn Gach the earth, amen.
Amen. We'll sing again to God's praise, and we'll sing from Mission Praise 52. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. Could turn, please, in your Bibles now to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and if you don't have a Bible, the words are on the screen. We've been going through the book of Ecclesiastes for a while now, about a chapter a night, and this is a book where the teacher, who's thought to be Solomon, King Solomon, is trying to make sense of life under the sun, life in this world, and we continue as he comes to chapter 8 here. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and at verse 1. Who is like the wise, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. I say, keep the king's command because of God's oath to him. Be not hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand in an evil cause, for he does whatever he pleases. For the word of the king is supreme, and who may say to him, what are you doing? Whoever keeps the command will know no evil thing, and the wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. For there is a time and a way for everything, although man's trouble lies heavy on him. For he does not know what is to be, for who can tell him how it will be? No man has power to retain the spirit, or power over the day of death. There is no discharge from war, nor will wickedness deliver those who are given to it. All this I observed while applying my heart to all that is done under the sun, when man had power over man to his hurt. Then I saw the wicked bodied. They used to go in and out of the holy place and were praised in the city where they had done such things. This also is vanity, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily. The heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with those who fear God, because they fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, neither will he prolong his days like a shadow, because he does not fear before God. There is a vanity that takes place on earth, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked, and there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. And I commend joy, for man is nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful. For this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him under the sun. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, how neither day nor night do one's eyes sleep, then I saw all the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. However much man may toil in seeking, he will not find it out. Even though a wise man claims to know, he cannot find it out. Amen. And may God bless his word to us. We'll sing again now to God's praise. We'll sing again from Psalm 73 at the end of the psalm, from verses 23 to verse 28 of Psalm 73. Nevertheless, continually, O Lord, I am with thee. Thou dost me hold by my right hand, and still upholdest me. Thou, with thy counsel while I live, wilt me conduct and guide, and to thy glory afterward receive me to abide. And so on to the end of the psalm. We'll stand to sing to God's praise. Let's pray as we come back to this chapter. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that in your word you speak to us. We thank you that as we come together, in the name of Jesus, you have promised to be with us, and we thank you that that's the calling that is placed upon our lives. Jesus calls us to come to him and to be with him. And so we pray that we would know the presence of God now as we study your word. We pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would clear our minds from all that would distract us, that you would give us understanding, that you would illuminate our minds, help us understand, and help us not only to understand with our heads, but to respond with our hearts in such a way as to determine that we will trust God, even though sometimes we cannot see what you are doing, Lord, even though sometimes this world seems like a strange place. We pray that you would give us faith, that we would trust you in everything. And we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you for your wondrous works that we see around us in creation, the beauty of all that you have made. And Lord, we thank you that we can look to the cross and to the open tomb where we see the ultimate work of salvation, that Jesus came and lived and died and rose so that we can be saved if we look to him, if we put our faith in the finished work of Christ. So draw near to us, Lord, we pray. Help us, take away our sin, fill us with the Holy Spirit, and minister to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, as we continue to look at this book, where the preacher, the teacher, tries to unlock the meaning of life. And all of us are searching for the meaning of life. This is something that applies to all of us. There's none of us that can switch off and say, this doesn't apply to me. All of us are trying to figure out what life is all about. And this is a book that steps us through some of the thinking that would lead us to put our faith in God. But much of the book is written from the perspective of what happens under the sun, of what happens in this world if we were to think about a world without God. And that's what makes the book somewhat puzzling. So tonight we're going to look at this chapter where we see the reality of life under the sun and the limitations of life under the sun. And there are limitations. I'm going to start with just a few quotes, not from the Bible, but quotes from Google. I find them on Google, but they're the kind of quotes that you see in posters and you see in memes on the internet. And the first quote comes from Michael Jordan. You'd call these things probably inspirational or motivational quotes. Michael Jordan said this. Michael Jordan's the basketball player, for those who are trying to remember who he is. He says, if you put your mind to doing whatever it is you want to do, good things can happen. Michael Jordan. Here's another quote. This is from Pinterest. Don't know who said it, but it's part of a poster on Pinterest. And if you don't know what that is, be thankful. Stop doubting yourself. Work hard. Make it happen. Another inspirational, motivational quote. Help you in your Monday morning. So that's the intention, I guess. Walt Disney, third quote. He says, if you can dream it, you can do it. If you can dream it, you can do it. And we could, there's no end to these kind of quotes. We could pick out a dozen other motivational quotes along the lines of, you know, you can be whoever you want to be. You can do whatever it is you want to do. You just have to believe in yourself. The world's your oyster. There's no limits. Just fly. So these are the kind of things that come across our feed all the time on social media. Inspirational, motivational quotes. Ecclesiastes 8 is like the opposite of all these quotes. That's why I like Ecclesiastes 8 far better. Rather than the teacher telling us that we can be whoever we want to be and that we can do whatever we want to do, the teacher, Solomon, here makes clear that life under the sun doesn't always work out that way. No matter how many posters you have on your wall, life doesn't always work out that way. In fact, it doesn't usually work out that way. Derek Kidner writes a wee commentary on Ecclesiastes, and he says, at every turn, this chapter will face us with our inability to call the tune and master our own affairs. So Solomon is saying to us in this chapter, you are not the master of your destiny. And what I want us to see by the end of this message is that's not a reason to be depressed. It's actually a reason to be thankful. It's a reason to praise God. It's a reason to be happy, as we think about this morning's text. So how can we be happy as we're living under the sun, as we're living in these different areas? I want to think about there's three areas that Solomon tackles in the chapter. He tackles the area of living under authority, and then he goes on to thinking about living with uncertainty. And the third thing he thinks about is living with injustice. All things that we experience in this life under the sun. So first of all, living under authority. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 is a kind of transition verse. It's a verse that sort of resets our thinking and gets us thinking about the whole area of wisdom again. He says, who is like the wise and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine. And the hardness of his face is changed. Solomon is wise. And the attribute of wisdom that Solomon has, it's given to him by God. He didn't work for it. He didn't pay for it. It was gifted to him, wisdom. And Solomon is the king. And so he writes from experience about the value of wisdom in dealing with kings and those who are in authority over us. So he says in verse 2, keep the king's command because of God's oath to him. Be not hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand in an evil cause, for he does whatever he pleases. For the word of the king is supreme, and who may say to him, what are you doing? Whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing, and the wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. So what is this? Well, this is just very practical, common sense, wise teaching. The reality is, wherever we live, at whatever stage we live, and whatever place we live, there will always be kings who are over us. There will always be those who are in authority over us. Whether we are thinking about government, there will always be ministers, prime ministers, those who are in office, and they have authority over us. We might not like it, but that's just the way it is. In our workplace, there will be bosses, there will be directors, there will be people who are over us. When we're in the classroom, boys and girls, there are teachers who are over us. We don't always like the way they run the classroom, but they're over us. When we're on the sports field, there are guys with the black shirts, the referees. They don't always make the right decisions. We don't always like the way that they run the game, but they're over us. So we're always going to have to deal with those who are in authority over us. And Solomon tells us how to deal with that. And Solomon says in the Old Testament what the Apostle Paul says in the New Testament in Romans 13. And the summary of it is, 99 out of 100 times, we're to submit. We're to accept the fact that there are people who are over us. Romans 13 says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Why? Well, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. So we're given this perspective that when we are living with those who are over us, they're in authority over us, God is in authority over them. The circumstances of our lives are under the control of God. So, as it says in verse 5 of Romans 13, therefore one must be in subjection. We have to deal with those who have authority over us in all kinds of spheres of life. Now, there is a time and a place to say we must obey God rather than men. Sometimes we can have an authority over us in government, and they'll tell us to do things which are against the Bible. Sometimes we can be in a place where there are those in authority over us, and they are telling us to do the exact opposite of what God says. And in these instances, we have to say what it says in Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men. Remember, the apostles were being told, no more talking about Jesus. That's the law. And they said, we must obey God. We're not going to listen to what you say. So sometimes there comes a time for that, but that's the exception and not the rule. Most of the time, it's wise for us to submit to those that the Lord has put in authority over us, and even to pray for them. When did you last pray for your boss, the boss that really annoys you? When did we last pray for those in government that we often fundamentally disagree with? When did we last pray for the referee halfway through a football match? We're to pray for those who are in authority over us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, first of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. So first of all, Solomon, he teaches us about how to live under authority. And we're to submit most of the time. The second thing that we have to deal with is living with uncertainty. And we can see that from verse 6 and following. Solomon says, for there is a time and a way for everything, although man's trouble lies heavy on him. For he does not know what is to be, for who can tell him how it will be? Do we worry? I think whoever we are, whatever stage of life we're at, whether we're young in school, whether we're a bit older heading out of school, whether we're going through middle age with all the conflicting responsibilities of that, or whether we're coming to the end of our years, we have wrestles with worry. So when we think about worry, what is it that we worry most about? Well, it's actually not the past or the present that we worry about. It's the future. Usually we're worrying about the future. We're worrying about the uncertain things that might happen, but equally they might not happen. We worry about the things that we have no control over. We worry about the cost of our mortgage going up whilst our pay goes down. We worry about our health and that little pain that we have that shoots across from every now and again. We worry about what will happen when our parents aren't with us anymore. We worry about what it will be like when our children leave home. We worry about getting our exam results after we've sat the exams and we have to wait for the results to be published. We worry about no end of things. The list is endless. And the reason we worry is because, verse 6, we do not know what is to be. Verse 7, we don't know how it will be in the future. We worry about uncertainty. And probably our biggest worry is death. Verse 8. No man has power to retain the spirit, to hang on to life, physical life. No man has power to retain the spirit or power over the day of death. There is no discharge from war, nor will wickedness deliver those who are given to it. All this I observed, says Solomon, while applying my heart to all that is done under the sun, when man had power over man to his heart. So as Solomon considers life, and as he thinks through all these things that we have to deal with, as he considers life under the sun, he notes in verse 8, we can't control wars. We switch on our TVs, we see Ukraine, we see Russia, we see Gaza, we see Israel, we see all these places. We can't control wars. We couldn't back then and we can't still today. We feel the helplessness and the uncertainty and the anxiety that goes with that. We can't control, verse 8, the wickedness of people, whether they're close to us or whether they're far away from us. We can't control the power struggles of man over man and the hurt that brings, verse 9. And Solomon underlines for us that we cannot control the day of death, verse 8. These are unknowns. These are uncertainties for us. And that's an inescapable fact of life under the sun. There is uncertainty. We don't know the future. We might have a plan for this week, but we don't know how this week's going to play out. We don't know the future. We don't know what is to be, verse 6. But the good news is we can know the God who knows the future. We don't know what's coming, but the God who knows what's coming holds his hand out to us and says, trust me with the future. We have no control over all these uncertainties that Solomon brings into focus in this chapter, but rather than worry about them, we can trust the God who is in control. And none of us know the day of our death, verse 8. None of us know the day of our death. But we can come to know and trust the God who numbers our days, it says in Psalm 139. And who is able to give us life beyond death. Living with uncertainty, living under authority. The third thing that Solomon dips into is the reality of living with injustice. Verse 10. Then I saw the wicked buried. They used to go in and out of the holy place and were praised in the city where they had done such things. This also is vanity. So in this next section, Solomon, he's been at a burial. He's been at a funeral service, and at the funeral service, there's been a eulogy, and kind words, nice, gushing words have been said about the character and the life of the man who has died. And this man was a man who was in and out of the holy place. He was a regular, you could say, at church. But everyone knows that this man was not good in his character. He was wicked. And yet, at the end of his days, he's praised. And Solomon says, this is vanity. How unjust. And yet Solomon notes that it's not just at the end of life that there's injustice. It's not just at the time of death, but it's right through life. Verse 11, he says, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. We understand that. Somebody does something, it's wrong, they get away with it. They think, I can do more next time. Just going to career on down this evil route, and I'll just please myself. No one will catch up with me. And that was Solomon's observation back then. We can pick up the newspaper and read about the same thing any day of the week. Verse 14, another illustration of this. He says, there is a vanity that takes place in earth, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked, and there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I said also, this is vanity. So Solomon, he looks around and he sees injustice and he laments the fact that there is injustice. It's the same sentiment that we see in Psalm 73, where Asaph raises similar complaints. He says, why do good people suffer? Why do evil people prosper? It all seems so wrong. It's all so unjust. It's vanity. And all this is just bang up to date. It's relevant. We can take any number of illustrations. We can feel this 1,000 times over when we watch the news. There's injustice everywhere. And yet, as Solomon ponders this a bit more, as he pushes us to think about more than what's just under the sun, he realizes that ultimately there is judgment. We might not always see justice done in this world. In fact, often we don't. But Solomon has that deep conviction that ultimately there will be a final reckoning. Verses 12 and 13, he says, though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with those who fear God because they fear before him. But, verse 13, it will not be well with the wicked. Neither will he prolong his days like a shadow because he does not fear before God. And this teaching, it's just so clear and it's so simple and it's so black and white. And it applies to every one of us. And it can be summarized this way. It will be well eternally for those who fear God, for those who trust God. It will be well eternally for those who live their lives before God. Verse 12. And it will not be well eternally for those who do not fear God, for those who do not trust God, for those who seek to hide their lives away from him and who seek to go their own way. There's two paths, there's two ways, there's two destinies. There's heaven, wellness, forever. There's hell, unwellness, not well, forever. And Solomon is asking us the question, where are we tonight? Do we fear God? Do we have that awe, that respect, that trust in God? Are we looking to Jesus? Is it well with our souls? So that's the way it was back then, as Solomon looks around. And that's still the way that it is today. We live under authority. Sometimes that authority is tolerable. Sometimes the leaders do a decent job. Sometimes the teachers run a good class. Sometimes it's terrible. It's the reality of life under the sun. We live with uncertainty. We make our plans. We schedule our week. But one visit to the doctor, one phone call, one bad decision, one relationship breakdown, one virus, remember COVID-19? And all our plans go out the window. Everything changes. We live with uncertainty. And we live with injustice. Still, bad people are called good, and good people are called bad. Still, the wicked prosper. Still, the righteous suffer. So what's Solomon's response to all this? Well, the final point, briefly, is he says, live joyfully. Live joyfully. Which is probably the last thing we expected him to say. So after everything he said, he says, verse 15, and I commend joy. Live joyfully. And we want to ask him the question, how can that be? How can we be joyful in this world under the sun when we have to suffer all these things? How can we have this kind of joy when there are so many things happening at all these different levels, when we're wrestling with uncertainty and when we're dealing with warped authority and when we're suffering injustice? How can we live joyfully when we have to suffer all these things in this world? That's the question. And the answer is because we know that there is another world to come. Because that's what the teacher is pointing us to. He's dealing with life under the sun and showing us how futile it is if that's all there is. And the whole drive of this book is to look beyond that to what's over the sun, to the fact that there is a God. And there is more than just this. So yes, we will see, as we so often sing, we'll see the nations rage, we'll sing kingdoms, we'll see kingdoms rise and fall. We'll see all kinds of chaotic things, apparently, but the steadying factor that can give us joy is we know that there is still one King, the King of Kings, who rules over all. And he calls us to trust him, to have faith. And so Solomon finishes up essentially by saying, I can't see that much, but I can see that God is still at work. And because God is still at work, I can trust him. And I can eat and I can drink. Verse 15. And I can get on with life. And I can experience joy, even when none of it makes sense. And there's just deep mysteries. Verse 16, Solomon says, when I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, how neither day nor night do one's eyes sleep, then I saw all the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. However much man may toil in his seeking, he will not find it out. Even though a wise man claims to know, he cannot find it out. So Solomon finishes up here saying, I can't understand much. I can't see much. But I'm going to trust God. And that's the encouragement for us as we come to a conclusion. We're to trust God. And for some of us, that's a struggle. For all of us, at some point in our lives, it's a struggle. Things happen. And our faith is shaken. And maybe tonight there's somebody here. And you're hanging on by a thread. And you're wondering, how can I trust God? After this has happened, and that's happened, and the next thing has happened, and I can't make sense of anything. How can I trust God? Where can I see that God is trustworthy? How can I know that he's working in the darkness? How can I know that he's still active, and he's working for good and for glory, even though I can't see any of it? Where do I go to understand all this? And the answer is, we go to Calvary. We go to that place that we must never drift from. We go to the cross. That's where we see that God works in the darkness. At Calvary, remember, everything was so dark. And everything seemed so wrong. At Calvary, on the cross, we see the abuse of authority. As political leaders gang up to conspire against Jesus. And at the cross, we see the disciples, and they're dealing with uncertainty beyond anything that they could ever have imagined. They can't understand anything that's going on. The one they thought was the Savior, the Son of God, is dying. And at the cross, we see the crass injustice of everything that was going on. As Jesus, the righteous one, suffers. And Barabbas, the terrorist, goes free. And yet at the cross, God was working. So that darkness would be overcome with light. So that death would be overcome with life. So that sin would be overcome with salvation. So that Satan would be overcome by Jesus. So if we want our faith to increase, don't read the newspapers. Go back and read about the cross. Need to finish. So let's finish by going back to the start. Let's go back. Don't worry, 1 minute. 1 minute and you can relax. Let's go back to the start. Let's go back to the inspirational, motivational quotes like you can do whatever you want to do. You can be whatever you want to be. There's no limits. Let's go back to these quotes just for a minute as we finished. These quotes are designed to inspire us and motivate us and propel us out of our beds to just fly at the world. But the truth is, there's nothing more depressing than these quotes. Because no matter how many posters that we stick on our wall saying you can be whatever you want to be and you can do whatever you want to do, you can't. I'd like to fly. I'd like not to have to be dependent on whether the ferries go or don't go or the planes take off or land. I'd like to fly. I'd really like to fly. But as much as I might want to, I can't. I'd like to be the centre forward for Celtic Football Club. But no matter how much I might want that, it's never going to happen. I'd like my grey hair to turn brown again. It's not going to happen. It's the reality of life under the sun. And Solomon wants us to see that. Why? It's because when we see our own weakness, and when we see our own inability to control things, then we stop trying to control everything. And we stop worrying, at least to some degree we stop worrying. And we start to have peace. And we can start to live joyfully as we look to the God who is over the sun. And we trust that he is still working for the good of his people and for the glory of his name. We can't always see how he's working, but he is working. So be encouraged to trust him, says Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how relevant it is. And we pray that you would help us to take hold of it by faith. And help us when we're going through life in this world. And when we struggle sometimes with authority in the way that it shouldn't be authority. And when we struggle with the anxiety and the uncertainty of not knowing what will be. And when we are subject to sometimes the worst kind of injustice, we pray that you would help us to trust you. And even to live with a peace and a joy that is not of this world, because we are trusting in you. So give us faith, we pray, and help us to have our eyes fixed on Jesus. And help us in this Easter week especially to have our hearts continually at the cross, where we see your love for us and the work of salvation that we benefit from when we believe in Jesus. Help us believe, we pray. Amen. We'll sing to finish from Mission Praise 757, When Peace Like a River.
Glorious thought.
And I may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.